When Gerald Clark began writing Truman Capote's biography long before the writer's death in 1984, Clark never thought he would end up being a chief witness to Capote's physical and emotional decline. Although Capote is admired and respected for such books as In Cold Blood and Breakfast at Tiffany's, he's generally remembered as a literary figure obsessed with self-promotion, high society, and gossip. Capote had given so many interviews and was such a frequent guest on television talk shows that I asked Gerald Clark, as a biographer, what was left to learn about the man.
Truman had given many interviews, and he could be very honest, but at the same time, he hid a great deal. In other words, he could talk about some of the things most people are very reticent about, such as his sex life. Everybody knew he was homosexual, and he wasn't ashamed of it. It didn't affect him, didn't bother him in any way whatsoever. Things that other people might have talked about, Truman wouldn't talk about. Or it became very difficult for him to talk about some of his emotional relationships. He really, in a curious way, was very secretive. Some people who seem most open, and like Truman, are really sometimes the most secretive.
Capote was one of the most photographed writers of his generation, as you point out in the book. He was also one of the most frequent talk show guests.
Yes.
And
one of the earliest, too.
Yeah, and I think maybe he was one of the first writers of his generation, along with his rivals Gore Vidal and Norman Mailer, who really understood how to use television.
I think Truman probably understood it best. Although, in my opinion, Truman was not at his best on television. He became a bit of a clown. He knew the medium. He knew that to attract attention, you had to be outrageous, you had to shock, you had to say things that were not always absolutely true. In other words, you couldn't have shadings of gray. Everything had to be black and white. Truman knew that very well, and he became an instant celebrity once he was on TV. But in a sense, he also became something of a clown when he did that. And I'm sorry in some ways that he did it.
Do you think that worked to his detriment as a writer?
Yes, I do. I don't want to take a too high-toned idea about what a writer should do, because I think writers can do lots of things. But I think people don't realize what a good writer Truman really was because of this image they have of him as an entertainer from TV. And I think that's too bad.
His most widely read book was In Cold Blood, about the murder of a family in Kansas. The story and the setting was really so outside of his regular life. What attracted him to that story?
He wanted to get away from the things he had been writing about. He had just written Breakfast at Tiffany's, which was a story about New York of a social comedy, really. And he was attracted to journalism. He felt that journalism had not been properly appreciated as an art form, partially because nobody had made it into an art form. And he felt that if a novelist or writer of fiction, as he was, used the techniques of fiction to write about journalism, journalism could be elevated to an art form. And that's what he did with In Cold Blood. Other people had done it before. Truman made somewhat exaggerated claims about what he did, but nobody in our time, anyway, had done it as well as he did. And In Cold Blood has had an enormous influence on other writers, including very good writers like Norman Mailer. I believe that Mailer could not have written his nonfiction books, which came after Truman's, such as The Armies of the Night and the book about Gary Gilmore and so on, if it had not been for In Cold Blood.
He, I think, got in much deeper into the story than he expected to. He got out there to research this murder before the killers had been found, and he didn't expect they'd ever be found. Then the killers were found. He got to know them, to interview them, to witness their execution. What emotional effect did that have on him?
It was horrifying for him because he became very friendly with the killers. He knew that they were killers. He knew that they should be executed. He certainly did not excuse what they had done. He did not want them out on the street, but yet he couldn't help but be sympathetic with them. And I think anybody who reads In Cold Blood has to be sympathetic as well. That's one of the marvels of the book, is that he makes them human. It was a terrible conflict, and Truman felt very guilty about it, and I don't think ever quite recovered. He told me that before In Cold Blood, he was a relatively sane, normal person with the normal neuroses that we all have. And he was right. He had handled his life very well. After In Cold Blood, something snapped, and he lost his balance.
What were some of the ways that he started to physically and mentally deteriorate?
Toward the very end, after having taken so many pills, I don't think it was so much the alcohol as it was the pills, he began to hallucinate. The last few months of his life, he thought he was seeing, at some times, and this is not all the time, he thought he was seeing ghosts in his apartment. He came out of the apartment, banged on the doors of his neighbors, saying ghosts were inside or mafia hitmen were inside waiting to kill him. Of course, none of this was true. It was shocking for everybody. Nobody knew about it outside at the time, however.
Well, you were with him at the time as his biographer. What did you see your role as being? Would you try to help straighten him out or just watch and document it as it happened?
No, I don't believe that a biographer or a journalist has to sit by and just watch somebody kill himself. I did try to help him, and I did, as did other people. I told him he had to stop drinking, that he was going to kill himself. Doctors had told me that, and it was obvious. I knew it was true. But there was really not a great deal any of us could do.
He had been writing for years his book Unanswered Prayers, saying that this book would really establish his reputation as a brilliant writer. Why was he having so much trouble writing? Was it because of the physical problems he was having and the problems with drugs and alcohol? Or do you think that all those problems were a result of the writer's block he was having?
I think a little bit of everything, really. I think he had set his goals too high. It's a wonderful thing for every writer to want to write a great, great book. But some writers are a little bit more realistic about it than Truman was, and Truman himself had been more realistic. In other words, you do your best, and that's all you can do, and you publish. He felt it had to be a masterpiece or nothing. And I think if you sit down every day and think that the words you're writing have to be part of a masterpiece, I think it is a very inhibiting process.
Although he never completed the book, he did write several chapters. One of the chapters that was published in a magazine was called La Côte Basque, named after the restaurant in New York. And in this chapter, there's a lot of secrets he revealed about the wealthy and powerful people who were his friends, the people who had taken him in, the people who he had dined with and vacationed with for years and years. And because of the secrets about them that he revealed in this chapter, they turned against him and they shut him out. Did he consider that was going to happen? He felt terribly rejected afterwards. I mean, I think he felt really...
He was very, very, very naive. He showed me the manuscript before it was published, and we went swimming the summer before it was published in July of 1975. We went swimming, and as he was swimming around in the pool, I read the chapter at the side of the pool, and he explained to me who the models for all the characters were, and it was some of them I knew already. And I said to him, "Truman, when they read this, they're not going to be very happy." And he said, floating around in the pool, looking up at the sky, "Nah, they're too dumb. They won't know who they are." Well, they did know who they were. And there was a kind of an earthquake in New York, and in Los Angeles, too, where some of the people were. And the ground opened up beneath his feet. And people like Babe Paley, who really had been his greatest friend, just dropped him immediately.
You didn't expect this biography to be published posthumously. You know, you didn't expect Capote to be dead at the time of publication.
No. And I'm very sorry, in fact, that he's not here to read it. I think there are certain things he would not like, but I have a feeling most of it he would have liked.
Are there things that you said that you would have withheld had he still been alive?
No. Nothing. I wouldn't have changed a word.
I want to thank you very much for talking with us.
Thank you.
Gerald Clark is the author of Capote, a biography of Truman Capote, published by Simon & Schuster. This is Fresh Air.